smart talk for curious people just like you. You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley, and now Cam Howard, international reparations activist, who I wanted to check in with about his ongoing work on this particular issue that so many of us are paying attention to in the country. Hard to believe that we are at the point we are now with all the progress we've made on this issue, reparations, as I say all the time. We realize that the nation is watching us here in California to see what we will do. And for that matter, those of us in California are watching to see what we will do in the coming days, weeks, and months. I digress on that for now. Cam Howard, good to have you on this program, sir. How are you today?
I am great, Brother Tavis. Thank you so much, brother. It's an honor for you having me.
Honor to have you. Thank you for the time. Let me make the most of what we do have here. Let me just jump in by framing the conversation this way. Give me in the audience a better sense of your particular history in fighting for a reparations commission and why you think that would make a difference.
Sure. So I've been in the movement for about close to 20 years. I'm currently the executive director of Reparations United, but I'm also a commissioner with the African American Reparations Commission under the leadership of Dr. Ron Daniels. Mm-hmm. But I started my work with NCOBRA and quickly rose up to be the national male co-chair, elected three times to that position, and worked with Congressman Conyers closely with writing the revised version of the Reparations Commission bill in 2017, he submitted it. So we've been closely working with that. We believe that the commission, if set and done correctly, will produce a master plan of redress for Black Americans. It will look at the periods of enslavement, the periods of Jim Crow segregation, and this new period, what I call neo-apartheid period that we live in, and an attempt to quantify all of the negative impact from these periods of crimes on current living Black Americans, and then craft proposals to address this ongoing impact. So what should come out of commission is a master plan of redress, a master plan of repair for centuries of harms and crimes committed against our people.
Mm-hmm. When you said John Conyers, of course, I knew John Conyers well, and for that matter, we were both fraternity brothers. I always think of him whenever this reparations conversation jumps off, because he was there decades ago, way back when,
yes,
trying to make this thing happen, as you astutely noted. Why do you think there have been so many headwinds, even now, when you look around the country at all the progress being made? I mean, even here in California, right near where you are, in Evanston, Illinois, I mean, there are all kind of places we could point to where progress on this issue has been made. I grant you, more at the local level than obviously the federal level, although California at the state level appears to be poised to do something about reparations. But why do you think there's been so many headwinds with regard to just establishing a federal reparations commission? Why the headwinds?
You know, that's there's a for the Republican Party, Democratic parties in this country, when it comes to like the federal elections and who leads this country. The Republican Party have won the majority of the white vote in this country since probably 1952. I think the last Democrat that won was Truman. And if it wasn't for the black vote since that time, there would never have been a Democratic president. And so what actually the challenges with the Democratic Party is they believe that they will lose too much of the white vote for them to win the federal election. And that's been a push. But what we see a change in the Democratic Party is that at the federal level, in the last Congress, 88% of federal elected Democratic Party officials supported H.R. 40 and S. 40, the bill in the Senate. So we see a tremendous shift in the party at the congressional level, at the state level, as you talked about. The three largest cities in America, the governors of those cities have already signed legislative reparations commission bills, California, New York, and Illinois. And then the thousands of democratically elected local and state elected legislators are all pushing reparations at this time. So we see the shift in the Democratic Party just haven't made its way to the president yet. And I think it's because he believes he will lose too much white vote, but we also have an answer for that as well at this time that we have to message to him.
Well, you can't tease me like that and not tell me what the answer is. So what is the answer to that, to that, as you say?
Well, there was a 2019 Huffington Post poll that polled Democrats, polled all Americans. But the question was, do you oppose or support a reparations commission? And the Democrats that were polled, it was 80% that stated that they either unopposed or were in favor of a Democratic of a reparations commission. Mm-hmm. Only 20% were opposed, and that was in 2019. We believe that that number is much, much lower now, mm-hmm. and that also our polling shows that if a reparations commission was established before the election, he would get the president would get overwhelming support of Black voters that would counter any small loss of white voters that he may lose if he submitted a reparations commission. But it's up to him to convince those conservative Democrats that this is something they have to do. I have to accept if they want a victory in 2024.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, never mind the polling, although polling does matter, do you think that would make the difference? I mean, we have been seeing poll after study after survey that suggests that President Biden's Black numbers are at best soft. My view is that when people have to make a choice, if the choice is Trump or Biden, Black people are still going to go for Biden by and large. But that doesn't mean that Trump won't siphon something off. So my question is whether or not you think that his talking about addressing more publicly the issue of reparations could be the differentiator in this election for Black voters.
Most definitely. You know, Black voters are saying that, you know, they're tired of the rhetoric. You got our back. We're no longer any rhetoric. We want something tangible, something concrete. Mm-hmm. We hired someone to do a poll in Michigan and asked simply the question of Biden, was this create a established reparations commission before the election, are you more likely to come mm-hmm. out and vote? Mm-hmm. And from our numbers, Biden would add about 150,000 more votes. Mm-hmm. So we see that, you know, there is a tremendous need for him to do something radical.
Yeah.
And Black voters are saying he has to do something radical. And also, we have a company that have actually quantified the number of 2.9 million Black voters who voted for Biden in the last election, who totally disapprove of him. And he cannot win with those numbers. The only way he can reverse that, we're telling him, we're messaging him, is through a reparations commission before November. And he can reverse that mm-hmm. defection as well as bring on new voters who didn't vote
there
in 2020.
No, I hear your point, Cam. There is no doubt in my mind that Joe Biden secured a significant number of Black votes when he promised during the campaign to put a Black woman on the Supreme Court. That was a big deal. And to his credit, he kept his promise. And KBJ, as we all know, sits now on the U.S. Supreme Court. But I think a number of Black voters, particularly African-American women, took him at his word and said, if this white guy is willing to put a sister on the U.S. Supreme Court, then maybe I'll consider voting for him. So there's no doubt, again, in my mind, that he picked up a lot of Black support because of that promise. So I hear your point that if he were to say, I will establish a reparations commission, that might be all that a number of Black voters would need. The flip side of that, which I want to ask you about when we come forward, is whether or not Joe Biden already believes he got the Black vote in his pocket anyway. I ain't got to go that far. I mean, I done gave y'all a Black vice president. I gave you a Black Supreme Court justice. I got a Black person on the Fed. I got a Black person sitting for us at the UN, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now y'all Negroes want me to go out and say that? That's just a step too far to come out publicly and call for a reparations commission, which might cost me the election, particularly when I know and believe that y'all ain't gonna vote for Donald Trump over me. If you're Black, you got to vote for me. He got in trouble saying something like that, remember, a few years ago? We'll talk about that part when we come forward with Cam Howard on Tavis Smiley.
Interrogating and unpacking. That's what we do around here. You're listening to Tavis Smiley. Let's get back to more of Tavis Smiley right now.
More of Cam Howard right now as we talk about his push, along with others, for a serious reparations commission. And his point of view, in case you've just tuned in, is that if Joe Biden, as he did promising to put a Black woman on the Supreme Court in the last campaign, were to come out and say in this campaign that I promise to establish a reparations commission, that would do the trick. And all this talk about these soft numbers in Black America, that talk might dry up, Cam believes, if, in fact, the president would take that bold step. We shall see. That said, My point before the break a moment ago, Cam, was that Joe Biden probably believes he has the black vote in his back pocket anyway. Every Democrat running for president always thinks that. Why should Joe Biden be any different?
Well, this election is different. You hear black voter after black voter after black voter, especially young black voters, saying, you know, we want something. Our vote must be earned. We're tired of you taking our vote for granted. And again, that number that we have identified is 2.9 million, almost 3 million, which is 20% of the vote he got in 2000. He got 15 million black voters. If he only got 12 million, he definitely loses. So that's a gamble. That's a tremendous gamble, I mean, for him to take. We're saying that in order to ensure that those 3 million do not sit out, because most of them are saying they're going to sit out. A few are saying they're going to vote third party, and some are saying they're going to vote Trump. Mm-hmm. But the majority are saying they're going to just sit out the election in its entirety and not vote for anybody. And we're saying not only a promise, you know, a promise is not going to change them. He needs to actually establish the Reparations Commission mm-hmm. before the election in order to get those votes out. Yeah. So that's our message to the president. It must be before the election.
You mentioned that he has to earn the black vote. That actually is a project that you all are working on called Earn the Black Vote. Tell me quickly about that project.
Yes, the Earn the Black Vote project is a national campaign to secure a reparations commission from the president by executive order before the election. That's our goal. We have based that goal on three foundational truths. One is that the Democratic Party is totally dependent on the black vote. Mm-hmm. Again, they have not won an election since 1952 without that the necessary votes that they got from our community. That's how powerful the black vote is. The second foundational truth is that we need something before the election to bring us out. That's what black voters are saying. And the third one is that we believe that the Reparations Commission will secure a Democratic victory and also secure that tangible need that black voters are demanding. Mm-hmm. And so we based the campaign on that, and we're messaging the president about the power of the black vote. We're messaging about the political will that already exists within his party. He's the only one who's not aligned with his party. Again, at the federal level, legislatures have 88% signed on to reparations bills. Three states, largest states in the unions, signed on to reparations commissions, and many state legislatures. So he's the only one out of step as far as an elected Democrat mm-hmm. With this issue of reparations. And our third message is that this is an historical time in this country. It's not unlike Lincoln's need to save the Union. Biden, this talk about he must save the democracy. Mm-hmm. And so this is a historical moment, and he cannot allow a few white Democrats to interfere with him making the right decision.
No, I hear loud and clear your messaging and how you're targeting that message to the president. When we come forward in our remaining moments with Cam Howard, I want to ask him a complete non sequitur. Well, maybe it's not a non sequitur. When we talk about his messaging to the president and to Democrats, my question is there a message to Republicans on the issue of reparations? And what, if so, what would that be? What is the message, the messaging for Republicans on the issue of reparations? And I heard Cam use a phrase earlier that I've been noodling on since he mentioned it 20 minutes ago. And now I figure out how I want to probe it. And it's this phrase he used, his phrase, it's a Cam Howard phrase, that we are living now in a neo-apartheid era, a neo-apartheid era. We'll unpack that when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
For all the freedom-loving folk, this is Tavis Smiley.
I feel like free.
He's rooting for everybody black.
Everybody black.
More of Tavis Smiley coming your way right now. Right now. Right now.
I've got 3 minutes left, Cam Howard. 3 minutes left here. Let me ask you a couple questions. One, what is the message, to the extent there is one, what is the message to Republicans on reparations this year?
So our messaging is targeted toward the power holders right now who can act right now. That is the president and the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. And then on the Republican side, it would be Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson can call the H.R. 40 bill to the floor at any time. You can do it tomorrow, and we can pass it and have it sent to the president to be signed into law. That's something he's not going to do. I don't think that's something that the Republican's going to do. There's been no Republican who have signed on to the H.R. 40 bill in its 33 years of existence. So that's an issue. Reparations is an issue that Republicans are not even entertaining. It's a non-starter for Republicans. Yeah. In its totality, but Mike Johnson has the power.
It's a non-starter, but let me just play politics here. It's a non-starter, but strategically, it would be a brilliant move. If you're trying to siphon off black votes, I shouldn't say this on radio, but I'm saying here I am saying it anyway. you know where I'm going already, do you not, Cam Howard?
If you're trying,
I shouldn't say it on black radio, but I'm going to say it. If you're trying to siphon off black votes. And you could get a bill passed in the House to establish a reparations commission, you'd do two things. One, you would aid and abet Donald Trump in November. And number two, you'd put the Democrats on their heels. If you called for a vote on this, it would be strategically brilliant. Now, you're right. I'm going to put down the crack pipe now because I know they ain't going to do it. But it'd be brilliant strategically, Cam.
It would, man. That's the message we're telling to black Republicans. You know, if you actually say you're for reparations and you're Republican, get them to do it. Or if you're really for reparations, you can't be a Republican. But if you are, you know, message that to Mike Johnson, to the speaker.
My last question, 60 seconds left. I'll give it to you. When you use the phrase neo-apartheid era, I like it. But unpack it for me right quick.
So one of the definitions of apartheid is separate development, and you cannot have all the disparities that exist currently in America between black and whites if it wasn't for separate development. It doesn't look like apartheid backed by force that we felt at Jim Crow, but there's still enough separate development, enough disparities that indicate we're still in an apartheid system. Yep. It's just different from the one we were in.
Nope. I receive it.
Coming out of enslavement.
I receive it. Glad you unpacked it for me. His name is Cam Howard. He's been working for a long time, for a couple of decades now, on the issue of reparations. He and others are calling for the president not just to promise, but to establish a reparations commission now, before November, and they believe that that would do the trick to get him reelected because the black turnout would be significantly in his favor. My producers are reminding me that on Monday in our first hour, we'll be joined by Representative Jasmine Crockett, the Texas congresswoman who has introduced legislation to offer tax breaks as part of America's reparations. So we'll talk to Representative Crockett on this program on Monday. For now, we thank Cam Howard. Cam, all the best to you. Thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you, Travis. And I have your listeners go to earntheblackvote.net, and they can find out more about the campaign.
There you go. More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward.